You know, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about built different. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, built different. If that was your spouse, you owe them an apology right now. Because I'm not talking about your spouse, I'm talking about you. But I want us to understand that God is in the habit of forming us into something different. We come to him how we are and with what we have, not before we get cleaned up, but exactly how we are. And then the Lord takes us right there and he begins to create in us a new and clean heart. He renews a right spirit within us and he empowers us to live a life that he's called us to live. When we come to Jesus, we're one way. When we walk away, we are completely changed and different. But many of us have experienced salvation, and it's been incredible. But when we walk out of these doors and we get on with our life, something still feels like it's missing. Something still feels like we are lacking the ability to live the life that God has called us. And it's because I want to tell you that God wants to power us by his Spirit. He wants to move in us in a powerful way that changes the way that we see the world and the way that we act, all that is going on. You know, the other day I was vacuuming, or I was trying to at least. Yeah, anybody have a list of chores that your wife tells you you need to get done? You know, young men, if you're not married, you just don't know yet. You think you're going to be the man of the house all the time? Sometimes you got a boss and it's that lady that lives with you. And sometimes you just need to get things done. That's all right. That's what being a man is. Sometimes you just got to get it done. Doesn't matter who it is. So I was kind of following the instruction. I need a vacuum. So I go out and I get the vacuum and I unwind the cord and I you know, vacuum's in the middle of the room. I walk over. I reach down. I plug it in. I walk back. I turn the vacuum on. Nothing's happening. I kind of click it a few times thinking I missed it. I have like a foot power button, so I'm hitting it a couple times. And I think, man, my vacuum has gone out. I turn around. The cord is laying right there on the floor. I'm like, I know I have ADHD, but I'm pretty sure I plugged that thing in. So I walk back over here. I reach down. I plug it back in. I turn around. I walk over here, and I hit that power button, and it didn't work again. And now I'm a little frustrated. I'm like, oh, goodness, it really is going out. I look back over, it's laying on the floor again, the plug. I am losing it. And y'all knew already I'm losing it, but now I'm just coming to the realization. I'm losing the thing. So I go back over, I plug it in for the third time, and this time I'm not going to turn my back on. I'm walking, I'm careful, because I'm not trying to, I think I'm kicking the cord or something like that. I'm stretching it out too far. I know, I turn around. I turn it on, the vacuum starts up. Woof! Praise the Lord, I'm not crazy, right? I get a few passes with the vacuum, and then all of a sudden, the vacuum stops. What's going on? I turn around, it's unplugged. What in the world? I walk over, I reach down for the fourth time to plug it in, and I hear uncontrollable laughter from around the corner. My 5-year-old son. Has learned the joy of pranking. My heart is full. And I'm so happy for him, but I'm aggravated too. And I learned the joy of disciplining a kid that thinks he's getting away with something. I said, you get out of here right this minute. I said, you plug this in right now. He's just laughing. I said, you're going to sit here and you're going to watch me vacuum. I vacuumed the whole room. Now I said, now you're going to take that and you're going to unplug it. You're going to wind it up. You're going to put it up. You think that you're going to do all this stuff without you having to work with me on this thing? And the whole time I'm just having fun. But as I did that, as I walked through that moment, I realized something is that many times as Christians, you and I, we try to, no matter what our intention is, no matter what our task is, no matter what's in front of us, no matter how bad we want something to happen, it doesn't happen unless we're plugged into the power. It doesn't. Yet we live our lives in a way that says, well, if I can just want it bad enough, if I just will it bad enough, if I just get skilled, if I just read the book, if I just go to the conference, if I just hear a better message, well, you should have driven on down the street. I'm sorry for that. See, the problem is we as Christians, we live a life at times that says, if we just do this, this, and this, then we can live with the power. But no matter what's in front of us, it doesn't matter unless we're actually plugged into that power. A lot of the times it feels as Christians that we're flipping on the switch and we're trying so hard to make things happen, but we look back and nothing is working in our lives. And what do? We try harder. We make promises. We set goals for ourselves. And for a little while, it might work. You know, if you run that vacuum hard enough, you can make that meter bar kind of spin against the floor, and it kind of acts like it's working, but it's not powered. Nothing is happening. And eventually, the old habits begin to creep back in. Eventually, we get tired. Eventually, we get frustrated. Eventually, we step back and we say, this is just not working. And we think that there's something wrong with us, but maybe the problem isn't that we're broken. Maybe the problem is that we're underpowered. See, most believers, they don't struggle with things because they don't love God. Most believers don't struggle because they don't really want to please God. Most believers don't struggle because they don't want things to go well in their life, or they don't want to be a good witness for the Lord. Most believers struggle because there's a disconnect in their life, that they are trying to live a supernatural life on a natural ability, and it doesn't work. God designed our lives to be lived plugged into his power, filled with his spirit, not by might nor by power, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And here's where today matters. Today, at the end of the message, we're not going to just talk about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not going to talk about theory or theology. We're not just going to encourage you to seek the Spirit on your own. We're going to give you an opportunity today at the end of the service to come down and ask God to give you what Jesus promised to give you freely, to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that as you walk out of the door, you're going to be changed and different than when you walked in. And this promise is for everyone, young or old, rich or poor. It's for male and female. It is anybody in this place that comes and decides that they want to surrender to the Lord, and they want to ask the Lord to come in, and they want the Lord to empower them to live their life as a witness for him, to live a holy life, not one that is burdened by the fear and anxiety or depression, one that is free, where joy comes easy because he paid for it already, where peace you don't have to work for peace, it just settles in, where you don't have to try to work up the courage, because boldness is just who you are. Or you don't have to try to live a godly life, because it comes out of what you do with him. I need somebody to understand this morning that you have an opportunity today at the end of the message. So don't miss it. Don't skip it. Don't check out. Don't leave early. Stay and stay intent and focused on what the Lord has for you. Amen. Amen. See, when we open up our Bibles to the book of Acts, we're stepping into a moment that feels like it should be the finish line. These believers, they had seen and heard Jesus preach and teach, to love them, to be mentored by him for 3 years. At the end of it, they had seen Jesus walk all the way to the cross. They saw their Savior die a death that you and I deserve. And then they saw him resurrected from the dead, breathing new life again, victorious over hell, death, sin, and the grave. These believers were ready. They were willing. They had faith It should have been the start of the church at that moment. That's what we see in Acts chapter 1. We see a group of believers that they didn't need any more convincing that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus had died and rose again, and that they were the ambassadors, that they were the disciples, that they were the apostles of all that would come after them. But something was different. The disciples, they're not wondering anymore. It's real. They were committed followers. They had passion and sincerity. But if passion and sincerity and good intentions are enough, that would have been the perfect moment for them to walk out and begin to witness. But that's not what happened. Instead of sending them out, Jesus tells them to stop, not to go anywhere, to wait, because he had promised them something that would change everything. He had promised his Spirit. Jesus refuses to allow them to believe that salvation and empowerment are the same thing. It's different. See, that's the tension that sets us up for everything that follows, because the disciples are about to learn that salvation, or that belief in Jesus brings salvation, but empowerment is what enables them to go out and live for Jesus. First of all, I need us to understand we can be saved but not empowered. Turn to your neighbor and say, get saved. Now tell them to get empowered. You know, the other day I drove out a little ways. I walked into a place that I know my cell phone doesn't work very well. Anybody have a place in your life where your cell phone doesn't really work very well? It's always frustrating, right? Because your cell phone, it'll turn on, it'll power up, it'll do the things that you need it to do if you're just needing a calculator. If you just need your camera, but if you want to reach out, if you want to do anything outside of just your cell phone, you can't. And it's because in the upper right-hand corner, at least on my phone, there's a little icon that shows up. It says SOS. Anybody ever have that happen to you? SOS. It means that your phone can make emergency phone calls, but it won't send text messages. It won't call your wife. It won't reach out. You can't stream on your phone. You can't get on social media. Somebody say praise God for that. Anyway, you can't do all the stuff that you're used to do, because it's only good in emergencies. You see, SOS is an acronym that many people associate with seafaring. As a matter of fact, when ships would have engine trouble, when ships would have incredible trouble, and there was a danger not just to themselves, but to their crew, to even that they could possibly be sinking, they would send out on radio an SOS, which means save our souls. And other ships would respond. They would be required by law to disembark from wherever they were going, to leave what they were doing, to come in and be a rescue, be a source of help to the ship that sent out that SOS. And there we see kind of a straight line to what we're talking about today, don't we? We send out that SOS to Jesus, and Jesus comes in a state of an emergency where we are. We're trapped by sin, where we know our life is messed up, everything is going wrong, and we ask the Lord, Lord, what we've been doing isn't working. We need something different. We need you to come in and rescue us and bring salvation. And Jesus says that he doesn't turn it away any person that sends up that SOS, that calls upon his name. He will save them. Amen. How many have been saved here this morning? Praise God. But there's a difference between that SOS and that empowerment. There's a difference, and that difference is something that we are called to walk in. We are called to walk in the power source that God has given to us. Jesus finally explains what we're waiting for in Acts chapter 1, verses 8, whenever he meets with the disciples and he says, if you wait, you're going to receive the power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive what? Let's try it again. You will receive what?
Power.
Dynamos. That's that Greek word that we derive the meaning of dynamite. They didn't have dynamite back then, but that's where we get the same word. It's an explosive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What's important here is the order in which Jesus gives them this promise. First you wait, then you receive power, and then you walk out and you be my and you're my witnesses. That order is important because it presupposes the fact, see, Jesus assumes a few things whenever he's speaking to his disciples. He assumes that they already believe in him. He assumes that they are willing to follow him. He assumes that they're committed followers. But he also knows that they're not empowered to do all that he's calling them to do. The calling exists. The salvation has happened. The belief is given. But empowerment hasn't come yet. So Jesus says, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, that you'll receive that, and then you'll be my witnesses. When we slow down, we really take a look at Acts chapter 1, verses 8, what jumps out isn't just Jesus' promise. It's what he assumes. And what he ends up assuming is this, that the issue isn't their heart, it's their capacity. The issue isn't what they're called to needs to be dropped down to what they can achieve, but it's that they need to be empowered to live up to what he's calling them to do. See, intentions aren't good enough. Our willpower isn't good enough. Our desire to please him isn't good enough. If God enabled us to live in a natural power, what he's called us to do supernaturally, then we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. But we do. He's called us to live with so much more than what we can meet in and of ourselves. And I think that's really what the disconnect sometimes in our life is. We've asked the Lord to come into our heart, we've worked really hard, and we feel frustrated because we feel like we can't please him, we can't live for him. There's moments in our life where we've had the opportunity to stand and be bold to share Jesus with somebody that we love or somebody that God has called us to share him with. But it was safer to be quiet about it. We've had these opportunities to come in and take a bold stand of faith, and we didn't. We've had opportunities to pray over sick and see them recover, but we didn't believe for it. So many times in our life, we've had the opportunity over and over again, and we step back and we wonder why our life doesn't match what we see in Scripture. And I believe that this is the disconnect that many of us as Christians that are experiencing, the connection that we haven't made, because many of us are in that same place. We've said yes to Jesus. We want to live holy lives. We want to represent him well. But instead of waiting for power, we rush into trying to serve him, try to be that witness, and trying to live a holy life without being empowered by him. In Acts chapter 1, it shows us that Christian life isn't about being just simply committed. It's about waiting for that power that he's promised us. And what it means for us today, here and now, is that if Jesus wouldn't let the disciples move on and witness without the empowerment, how much more do you think that we here at Christ Legacy Church in Oklahoma, in our nation, should wait and ask the Lord, empower us, come and baptize us, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that when we go and we begin to do what you've called us to do, we don't have to summon up the courage. We don't have to get a running start. We don't have to be worried that we're going to face a difficult time or situation. But instead, as we begin to move into what God has called us to do, we begin to get excited and not scared. We begin to be bold about what God has done in our lives rather than to be tempted to come back and step back from what God is really calling us to do. I believe that it's important for us to understand here and today that you can be saved but lack the power to walk in the fullness of what God is really calling us to. And when we respond today at the end of this message, I want you to come and not just ask the Lord to give you courage that you don't have, but I want you to ask the Lord to give you what he promised. Amen. That power that he intends for us to have. You see, because the calling always precedes the equipping. Calling always precedes the equipping. That's why it can be a scary thing for us to walk into that calling. You can be called, but not equipped. I think about how different I felt as a parent when my wife and I, Claudia, when we were about to have our first child, my baby girl, Harper, and we were starting to prepare to be parents, and we were so excited. I remember reading all the books. I remember getting all the advice. Some of you were kind enough and not so kind enough to give me advice. Some of you weren't trying to give me advice. You were just trying to scare me. We all know. And no matter how hard I worked, no matter how hard we worked to set up the nursery and to have the diaper station and to have the backpacks and the gadgets and all, everything just like it was supposed to be, even though we had confidence in our preparation, the confidence was kind of fragile. You know what I'm saying? Because we were as prepared as we could be to have a child. But I remember putting that little baby girl in that car and driving home thinking how crazy the doctor was just to let us drive home with this thing. I remember Claudia trying to tell me how to drive on the way back. She was looking out 100 yards ahead of us saying, "Hey, see that hole? Be careful. Stop turning quite so fast." At one point, I remember, almost came to a full stop around a turn because I was turning so fast. We felt scared, timid, intimidated by what was ahead of us. But can I tell you now, on the other side of four children in diapers, praise the Lord, somebody, that my experience is something a little bit different. I'm not saying that I have everything worked out. I'm not saying that I have everything together. I'm not saying I'm the perfect parent, but I am saying this, that I'm not scared to have a child, although we're done. I am saying that I can walk forward in confidence knowing that God has given me all that I need in order to be the parent that he's calling me to be. And I want you to understand it's that way with your calling as well. That no matter how hard you work to prepare, no matter how hard that you try to be ready, you can't be ready in and of your own power and ability. What it takes is that we understand and we hear the call that God is calling us into. And then we come back to him, the source of all strength, the source of all power, the source of all ability, and we say, "Oh Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need your help." And we submit to him who we are. We submit to him everything about us, and he replaces our inability. He fills in the gap so that we get all that we need, all that he has for us, so that we can be successful in all that he's calling us to do. If you've ever experienced that, I want you to raise your hand, say amen. See, God is calling us to do something that we can't do in and of our own strength. If you could do all that God was calling you to do in your own strength, then you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. But he said it's for everyone and it's for all. You know, my little study on that word, that Greek word all, is very very broad. As it turns out, that word all means what? There it is. It's for everybody. Peter is a clear picture of what this means in the Bible, because we see this, the characteristic nature of Peter. He has faith in Christ. He's walked with him. He's talked with him. Jesus looks at him and he calls him the rock, Petrus, meaning the rock. And Peter at this point is treated as a leader of the disciples because of his boldness for Jesus. But then whenever it really counts, when Jesus was taken away, when he was almost certainly going to die from the disciples' point of view, a woman accuses Peter of knowing Jesus. And in that moment, we see his inability to stand even just in front of one person and admit that he knows Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 57, but Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. Wow. He knows beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's seen what he could do. He has heard the teaching. And in the moment where it probably counted the most, he denies him. And I don't want to, before we all start to judge Peter, I think it's easy for us to say that we've all experienced what it means to deny Jesus in some way, shape, or form in our lives. Perhaps somebody didn't accuse you of knowing Jesus and you said, I don't know him. But you live that way by your actions. You live that way by your attitude. You live that way over and over again, denying what he's done in your life, denying that he has a plan for your life, denying by the way that you talk or by the way that you walk according to everyone else that you even know him. And on the other side of it, you are always filled with guilt and shame and regret. You always wish that you could go back and do that better. But the reality is that it's not that you didn't have faith. It's not that you weren't saved. It's that you weren't powered to live with the weight of the calling that he had for you. And in this moment, this is before Pentecost. This is before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter wasn't equipped. He wasn't powered to live under the weight of his calling. But then we turn a few pages. As a matter of fact, 50 days. And we find in Acts chapter 2, verses 38, the Holy Spirit had fallen on all those in the upper room. People heard them. They came, they get a crowd gathered, and Peter stepped up in boldness. And verse 38 says, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that this is not some personality shift. This is not just an alternative way of viewing one's calling. This is not maturity. This didn't happen over long periods of time or even weeks between day one and day 50. This happened in a moment. This change happened in an instant. This happened because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit as he was filled to do all that God had called him to do. And he began, instead of denying that he knew Jesus just to one, stood in front of thousands and preached a gospel saying, in the name of Jesus, repent of your sins and be baptized and receive the gift that he's promised you. Let's not judge Peter. Let's identify with Peter, that we can believe that God, even though we've messed up, even as Christians, even though we haven't lived the life that God has called us to live always, we can step up and open ourselves up to be willing to receive the baptism, the fullness of what God has for us. God knows exactly what he's calling us and what our calling requires. And he intends to meet us and fill in those gaps so that we have what we need. Here's the takeaway for us in this moment. God is not waiting for us to be obedient. He's waiting for us to be submissive. He's waiting for us to receive what he's called us to receive. In these moments where we feel intimidated, instead, when we're filled, we can be filled with excitement. It's not that God is asking too much, it's that we're trying to carry the burden without the power. So finally, I want to share with us this, that being filled changes everything. Being filled changes everything. There's a difference between knowing something is available and actually experiencing it. There's a difference between knowing about the promise and receiving the promise. Before the Spirit moves, faith can feel fragile. Obedience can feel heavy. Courage can feel borrowed. We try to summon up the peace, but we still feel unsettled. We try to live and walk with power and might, but our voice breaks. We kind of chicken out. We get frustrated because we don't feel like we can live with the holiness God is desiring from us. But when we are baptized with Holy Spirit, peace comes naturally, joy comes every morning. Boldness comes as a result of who we're walking with. And the holiness of God isn't something that we work at. It's something that exudes from us, not because we're better, but because we're different. Young man, young lady, God has called you to live with a purpose and a plan, but he's going to empower you to do it. God has power for you. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible tells us, and everyone present was filled, somebody say filled, with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. That word filled matters because it implies that filling influences everything about us. And make no mistake, we're all filled. But we're all filled with different things. We can be filled with pressure, and that pressure influences how we live and what we say and what we do. We can be filled with anger. We can be filled with judgment. We can be filled with fear. We can be filled with work. We can be filled with relationships. We can be filled with a number of things. And we're all trying to fill ourselves, even as Christians, so that we can live the life that we think that we should live. But you see, young man, young woman, when you are filled with the Spirit, it changes everything. And you begin to respond out of that infilling. As a matter of fact, this is not just a one-time filling that God has intended for each one of us, but instead, we are continuously supposed to be filled with His Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, on Paul talks about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and he encourages you and I in how we should conduct our daily life. Paul says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. How many of you know that if the days were evil back then, we need them more and more. We need them more and more. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. See, Paul is speaking to not to the world, but to a church. How do you know it's easy for a church to act thoughtlessly? Be so absorbed in what you think God wants to do in your life that you don't even recognize the calling that He has on your life to go out. You can be so self-absorbed as a Christian that Not only do you not recognize the calling on your life, but you don't even know that you're inadequate in order to meet the calling. And God, make no mistake, is calling his church not just to be not self-absorbed, but to walk out in confidence and in power, giving freely what he has so freely given unto us. We need his power. We need his infilling. He moves on. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. I could stop there and preach a word to you. I think I might. Don't. That was a word. Instead, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you make the connection? That's what the Lord wants for us. Be filled with the Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about willpower. It's about Holy Spirit power. That joy, that peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control are all fruits of the Spirit that empowered when the Spirit of power comes and fills you, that baptizes you and enables you to live the kind of life that he's calling you to live. So now you don't have to live your life in that SOS mode, but instead you live your life in a Spirit-filled mode. That can explain why sometimes obedience seems so hard for some people, and why you look through your life and you see that other people just seem to maneuver through life's challenges so differently, so easily. Can I tell you, the answer is not found in them. The answer is found in him. In him. Would you stand with me everywhere you go? Holy Spirit, we come to you at this moment in this time. Lord, we submit ourselves unto you, Lord. We open ourselves, Lord, to all that you have in store for us, to what you desire to do in our hearts and our lives. Lord, I invite you into this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would baptize, that you would fill people with the power of your Holy Spirit so that they would be empowered to live the kind of life, to answer the call that you have placed on their life. In Jesus' name. This morning, I want to invite you, if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to come down to these altars, to make yourself available. But before you come, I want to give you a little bit of instruction. You see, in the Bible, we find that as people were filled with the Holy Spirit, something began to happen to them. They were empowered, but the Bible tells us in many, many places that they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is works as a symbol or a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that you try. It's not something that you try to will yourself to. It's not something that you try to act out. It's something that occurs as you begin to pray. And it's not something that somebody else gives to you, but the gift comes from the Father because it's promised from the Son. You see, we're not chasing a gift. We're chasing Jesus and all that he has for you. So don't be scared of it. You're not asking for something extra. You're asking for what he wants to give you. And so when you come down, I want you to pray like this. I want you to first thank God for the promise. I want you to begin to ask him to give you what he's already promised you. And if you feel like God is beginning to work inside of you and he's beginning to form something in you, to speak it. But if you don't, then begin to continue to pray. Lift up your hands. bow, get at the altars and kneel, but seek his face, because the reality is, this is not something that I can teach you to do. It's something that you simply receive. It's not about your position. It's not about your posture, but it's about his presence in this room. And can I tell you that he is present and that he is willing? And so the only missing component is our submission, our willingness to receive what he really wants. So I want to open these altars up. And as you come down, I want to invite right now the prayer partners to make themselves available. And we're going to pray and ask the Lord to fill us anew with his Spirit. Perhaps this is your first time. Perhaps this is your 10th time or 100th time. But you know that you can't live the life that God is calling you to live without being filled or refilled with his Spirit. Begin to come now. Let's begin to pray, begin to seek his face as we continue to worship. I believe, church, that God is calling us for more. If you believe that, say amen. And I believe that we need the empowerment of his Spirit in order to accomplish all that's before us. And if you've been praying and asking the Lord and you are willing to open your heart for him to do that, I want you to know that it doesn't just happen at these altars. But many times it happens in your own homes, at your own bedside, as you pray that the Lord will fill you with the power and the Spirit that he needs you to have in order to walk and live the kind of life that he's calling you to live. And all that I would ask you, all that I would beg you and encourage you to do is to be open and willing to receive a free gift. And how many of you know that if it's a gift that God wants to give us, that it's a good gift? It's not scary, it's not overwhelming in a bad way, but it will change the way that you walk through the world. I want our church to be different, because I know that we are walking into different times. And if you don't believe that times are changing, wait a few weeks, wait a few months, and you're going to be reminded just how much that we need to rely on Jesus and to be filled with his Spirit. I want to say a prayer of blessing for you. I want those that are still praying to continue to pray. Do not allow any interruptions to keep you from praying, to keep you from seeking what God wants to give you. And if you want to respond still, you can still respond. You can still come and pray, and our worship team is going to continue to worship. But I want to pray a prayer a blessing over each and every one of us this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for being the giver of good gifts, for being a God, Lord, that has given us your Holy Spirit, that desires to fill us completely and totally, for us to walk in fullness, to experience an encounter, Lord, with you that changes everything. And Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that each and every one of us would have that desire, have that hunger, Lord, to experience the fullness of who you are, so that we, Lord, as a church, would be full of who you are. Lord, so that we can walk out and be the bold witness that you've called us to be. Lord, so that your kingdom grows. Lord, so that our life is the example that others see, Lord, whatever it means to whatever they see us as we live out the calling that you've placed us with. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that miracles would happen. I pray, God, that boldness would occur in our lives. And I pray, God, that we would give you all the glory and all the honor for what you're going to do. So I pray, Lord, that people would continue to seek after you. And I pray, Lord, they would hear encounters all throughout the week of you coming in a powerful way and filling people with your baptism. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please let people continue to pray as you walk out. God bless you.